Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 Flash production. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 with the Southwest Texans starts right now.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. I'm your host, the Southwest Texan, as always, Dead A Cruz. I always bring you the best interviews in the podcast world. What's going on, everybody? Tonight's a special show tonight. I have two big guests tonight. I have a former Impact wrestler, Kongo Kong, and I have Johnny Bravo from Impact. We're going to get into Johnny's brain. He said he's going to rough me up. I want to see him try to rough me up a little bit. So, Martez, what do you think about tonight's interviewees? What do you think about tonight?
yeah, like I'm on the edge of my seat for tonight's show, man. You got two great guests that you got, man, on your own, man. So, I'm interested to seeing what they bring to the table. I love that promo that Johnny made about coming on to the show tonight. So I'm very interested to hear what he got to say, as well as Kong. I'm interested to hear what he got to say too. So yeah, man, I'm just gonna sit back here and enjoy this show tonight. And if you need me to chime in at some point, let me know. But other than that, I'm gonna chill out and play producer.
Oh, for sure, for sure. All right, for sure, for sure. You guys heard it from Martez. I always get his opinion on the show because it means a lot. We're coming to you from Open Talk Radio Flash. Don't let me forget that. But tonight's going to be a great show. And pretty sure pretty soon, if Kongo Kong, sometimes these wrestlers get mixed up in the timelines from where they're from compared to where we're from. So we're going to have him on pretty soon. And if not, we'll have to reschedule. But hopefully he's on tonight. But we also got Johnny Bravo from Impact. Like I said, I got a lot of tough questions for Johnny. Like, he got a lot of tough answers for me that I'm probably not going to want to hear. And like I said, he's going to try to rough me up, but you can't break a real man, a real podcaster. You know what I'm saying? You can't break a real host, Johnny. If you're listening right now, you can't break a real host. You can't break me, and you can't break me, and you can try to make me, but you can't break me. But, yeah. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good interview tonight. It's going to be very fun. And, man, I hopefully Kongo Kong comes on soon. But what do you guys think about this week in wrestling? I didn't really get to catch much of it because I had a lot going on this week. But I heard Monday Night Raw was pretty good. They broke up that little group that Andrade, Austin Theory, and Angel Garza and Freak, what's his name? I forget whatever. But yeah, they broke up and I'm sorry. One thing. Rest in peace to Shad Gaskwire. Rest in peace to that man. I'm very sorry. My condolences go out to his family. And that's he was one of my favorite tag teams during the back in the 2005, 2006 with Crime Time with JTG. You know what I'm saying? He was a good wrestler. And a humble guy, as everybody knows. The Rock even gave him a shout-out. Everybody in this wrestling world gave him a shout-out because they knew what kind of a humble man he was, what kind of a father he was. He saved his son before he saved himself, and that's sad. And I'm like I said, my condolences, prayers go out to the Gasquire family. I'm sorry if I'm saying the name wrong, but that's very sad, and that's, you know, not rated R, but, you know, that's real life. But, yeah, let's get down to wrestling business. And, another thing. I'm sorry. I'm not going to move on from that. They're going to try to induct him into the WWE Hall of Fame. I mean, that's kind of sad that it takes him trying to, you know what I'm saying, save his son and passing away for him to go to the Hall of Fame. They should have been in the Hall of Fame. They were a great tag team in their time. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about anything going on with that, but, you know, that's something that's questionable to me. I think they should do prime time as a whole tag team, as tag team going into the Hall of Fame, and not just him. Maybe have him a two-time Hall of Fame, have him go in as himself, or win the Warrior Award, and then go in as a tag team in a Hall of Fame. That's something that should have happened.
Yes, hey, Southwest, I didn't hear anything about that, man. Wow, man. Like, I kind of feel you on that, man. I don't know. Like, it shouldn't take him passing away to get put in the Hall of Fame. You know, that lets me believe they never were going to do it, you know. And now they maybe feel pressure.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. It shouldn't have to take for a person to pass away. Like, that's why Martha Owens don't want to let WWE induct Owen Hart. That's why she don't want to let them induct him, because she says WWE's Hall of Fame is a joke, which it kind of is. You got a celebrity induction, you got all this other bullcrap that they're going nowadays because they're running out of nostalgia to induct to the Hall of Fame. It shouldn't have to take somebody passing away for in their era of being the Hall of Fame, because they're doing it by eras and by years and by what people's done. You know what I'm saying? Just because they weren't world champion, intercontinental champion, they've had the tag team title. It shouldn't take that. I think that's wrong on WWE's part, and a lot of people you're going to hear that. A lot of people are going to – I'm pretty sure that a lot of people are going to think about it like that. So if anybody got a question about my interviewees, give me a call. Area code 646-668-8672. Area code 646-668-8672. Or if my interviewee Congo Kong is on the line, a.k.a. Steve Wilson, the man behind the monster. Hopefully he's on. Is he on?
No, not yet. He's not in the house yet. Nope.
He's not in the house yet. He's not in the house. Man, I got a lot of tough questions and a lot of questions for him too, man, and it's pretty good. I put a lot of thought into both interviews tonight. But
you have a bunch of fastballs tonight you go throw at him, huh?
Yeah. You know, it's going to be crazy. I'm going to ask one of my questions to Johnny is I'm going to bring it out right now. I might get some heat for this, you guys, but if you got some heat for the Southwest Texan, you know, I'm from Texas, so I can take the heat. I can beat the heat. So if you got you know, questions or anything, you know, 646-668-8672, but I'm going to ask him about Tessa Blanchard and this world title crap, not just her going on into Mexico being scared and scared of the Defender Championship, but also what is the hell is she? Why is she world champion? I've said it before. You guys known this forever since you guys known the Southwest Texan on Open Talk Radio. I don't get it. Indie wrestling, fine. I'm not downgrading the indie wrestling, but the indie wrestling is what made that famous almost. If you look at it by the ECW things going on before WWE started doing things, but I don't know, man. I think that intergenders shouldn't really be for the championships. Have it as a tag team match, like probably WWE does the mixed match challenge or whatever. But a woman as the world champion, I don't see it as a real threat. Let's be honest, guys. But yeah, if anybody's on the line, you know what I'm saying. I could beat the heat. The Southwest Texan is here to beat the heat. You know what I'm saying, with all your wrestling questions. You know what I'm saying. Area code 646-668-8672. And if anybody, what do you guys think about Karrion Kross, whatever his name is? I know him as Killer Kross. But what do you guys think about him and his wife, Scarlett Bordeaux's NXT going so far? You know what I mean? There's a lot of things going on, and I don't think that it should be doing it like, you know what I'm saying? I think it's really good going on. I think that a lot is going on in this with Vince McMahon. I think Vince McMahon is going to push Killer Cross very hard, and but I think that he should remain in NXT. I think he should remain in NXT because once you get that, you know, main roster, you get to the main roster from NXT, that it's all over. You know what I'm saying? That's it. But is there anybody on the line that fan or Congo or anybody? You know what I'm saying? Well, Southwest Texas needs somebody to talk to.
Well, my man Jason, he's commenting on Facebook. He's basically saying that he agrees with you about the crime time situation. So,
yeah, man.
Although
go ahead.
No, although he hasn't called in, you know, he's commenting, and definitely he's agreeing with you, brother.
Wow. Most definitely, man. Like I said, it shouldn't. No matter what it is, like we always stress this a lot. It doesn't matter what race, no nothing. Race should have none to do with it either. You know what I'm saying? It killed me. It killed me. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't have to do that. It shouldn't have to be somebody's passing to get into the Hall of Fame of 2021. And that it's crazy. It's crazy to me. But like I said, I go for Shad Gasquire to be a 2-time Hall of Famer as a father, or if not, even give him the Warrior Award. Give him the Warrior Award and give him to the Hall of Fame with his tag team partner. Let JTG and his wife go up there and talk for him. You know what I'm saying?
Now
let them induct him.
You're the first person, you know, and I don't know how you go. If you go, you probably go disagree with me when I say this. And I know we're still looking for your interviewee to call in, but you're the first person to I've ever heard to say Crime Time should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm with all due respect to Crime Time. You know, I got to go back and look. I remember them because I was watching wrestling during that time, obviously, but I got to remember their – I got to go back and look at their career because I never thought about them going into the Hall of Fame at all. But, I mean, you took a lot
no,
of guts.
You got to look at it. They got a lot of I'm not gonna say like this, but a lot of bullshit act in the Hall of Fame. You know, not no disrespect to the Bushwhackers. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect to you know what I'm saying. It's not bullshit, but you know what I'm saying. That you know you got a lot of tag teams that are in there that haven't won the tag team titles that done less than Crime Time. You know what I'm saying? They've done a lot more in a couple years than the Bushwhackers. When they were in the tag team division back in the day. No disrespect to them.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? They won the tag team title. I believe so. I want to say they won the tag team titles because there's a picture online with them with the tag titles. But I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure they won the tag titles. But, you know, you got to look at it that way. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, they're running out of nostalgia to put in the Hall of Fame. You got almost every I want to say Attitude Era star from even the 80s, 70s or whatever, you know what I'm saying? They're running out of nostalgia to put into a Hall of Fame. They even put Carlos Colon a couple of years back, you know what I'm saying? No disrespect to Carlos Colon because he's a legend in Puerto Rico and CCW and WWC. It's a World Wrestling Council, you know what I'm saying, where Carlito and them came from, you know what I'm saying? Primo, Epico, you know what I'm saying? They come from Puerto Rico and stuff, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. You know, and I believe even them, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people from their eras should be able to go into the Hall of Fame without, you know what I'm saying, having to be the best or been world champion or being the best stable or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Because you got the Hall of Fame, you know, the celebrity wing. You got, you know, a lot of stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Why not put in actual wrestlers that you had in your business? That way you don't run out of the stuff to, you know, put in.
Also,
I don't.
Yeah, so basically you said part of you because there's a lot of joke. There's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that's a joke. That definitely paves the way for Crime Time to get in because of people are in the Hall of Fame that are jokes, like a Pete Rose or
no,
a Dennis Rodman.
No, but I'm saying like no, not like that. But what I'm saying is you know what I'm saying, you got a celebrity wing. You know what I'm saying? Why have all that garbage, you know what I'm saying? I know they're celebrities, you know what I'm saying? But you got people like Drew Carey that just sat in the Royal Rumble for 2 seconds because he got, you know, he threw himself out. Stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's not no disrespect for anybody that's wrestling, but you got
a stupid part of the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? That's why, like I said, people say that the WWE Hall of Fame is trashed. Like even Chris
what?
Jericho said, if he never goes into the WWE Hall of Fame, he wouldn't complain because he know what mark he left into the WWE. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that, that's what I'm talking about. People are saying
right.
the WWE's Hall of Fame is trash. That's what I mean. I'm not saying that Crime Time was trash because, like I said, I watched them. You know what I'm saying? I've been watching wrestling for 25 years, and I liked Crime Time back in the day. Not saying that they were my favorite tag team or whatever, but I like what they brought to the ring. They brought different. You know what I'm saying? They brought a different persona from your everyday wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree, and you know, I've been going back to watch some of the old stuff, and like they were definitely entertaining. Number one, you know, I'm not gonna lie, as a black man, I didn't like that gimmick because I felt like WWE was stereotyping them, you know, and
yeah.
However, they grown men, they signed on for that, you know, they could have said no. So, but I'm
right.
saying back then I didn't value them because I felt like, oh, there's a bunch of Negroes acting like thugs. Yeah.
Right, right, most definitely. And that's like when WWE did the Mexicos. You know what I'm saying? Not every Mexican cut grass for a living. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just the same difference. It's the same difference. And I believe that they should. You know what I'm saying? They even did Kai and Tai, I believe, that they put them into the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? And Crime
mm-hmm.
Time's done a lot more than Kai and Tai. You know what I mean? That's exactly what I mean. You know what I'm saying? There's no disrespect. It's nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that they're garbage because, like I said, I liked them. They always brought something different. And even when they were in the indies, they won a lot of indie tag team titles because they brought something different to the ring. They bring passion and they bring something innovate. They still brought their innovation to the ring. So I mean that's just what I mean. You know, like I said, prayers and condolences always from all of us over here. Rated our wrestling podcast and Open Talk Radio. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry if I said, you know, I'm part of, you know, you too. You know, but it's crazy that, you know, that happened. It happened all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Like when I heard it, when I first heard it, I thought it was a joke. I really thought it was
mm-hmm.
a joke.
Yeah.
I really thought. And then when I really started hearing and reading everywhere else from everybody else, I'm like, damn, it's like real. And then when they said he was dead, I was like, wow. When I was reading it, I think it was today or yesterday. Yeah, it was today. And I was like, wow. I was like, man, it's real. And I'm, or no, it was the other day. It was Wednesday before NXT. That I,
yeah.
or that afternoon, or whatever. Anyway, but yeah, it's just a crazy thing, man. It's sad. But congratulations, I guess, to them going into the Hall of Fame. You know, nonetheless, you know they're going. But I believe he deserves 2-time Hall of Fame and maybe even the Warrior Award, man, because he saved his son. That should be for the Warrior Award. For him being a regular, you know what I'm saying, his self for the Hall of Fame, and then for being in Crime Time. I mean, I'm not going to be greedy with it, or I don't want to sound greedy, but I believe that's what should happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, brother. I agree. I think that's a no-brainer, man, especially that Warrior Award. Like, that's a no-brainer. And I'm glad that WWE, they didn't ignore his death, because they could have easily ignored
right.
it, but... They did the right thing.
They've done it to a lot of people. I believe they ignored British Bulldogs back in 2001.
What?
I believe they did ignore. I believe they did. I'm not 100%, but I know in 2001 when somebody passed away, they didn't acknowledge it. And they've done
right.
it a lot of times. They've done it a lot. You know what I'm saying? If you look back on your history on a lot of deaths in the years, you know what I'm saying? A lot of the wrestlers that wrestled for WWE, they ignored it. But, I mean, it is WWE, so, I mean, they pick and choose what they do with everybody and anybody they deal with.
Yeah, and I honestly think, Southwest, I honestly think if he didn't pass away the way he passed away, they wouldn't honor him. That's just my opinion. I think the way he passed away, made it easy for them to do it. They was just in the corner. They had to do it, or they would have looked bad. But if he would have got a shot, or if he would have died from something else, I don't think they would have recognized him. That's just my whole thoughts on that, man.
I believe, and that's what I mean. I believe so. I believe, and that's what I'm saying. That's what's crazy to me about WWE. That's what I've been meaning to say, you know what I'm saying, the whole time. And that's my thing, is WWE just picks and chooses what they do. That's it. That's how it goes. WWE's just weird like that. Like I said last week when they were talking about disqualifying Seth Rollins earlier last Monday night for the tag team match. You know what I'm saying? Vince is going to be Vince. Like you said, though, at least he didn't go not acknowledging it, but he acknowledged it. But at the same time, so did AEW.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? AEW did it on NXT or Dynamite. You know what I'm saying? They did it on Dynamite, and that's just the wild thing too, is that they never even worked for AEW and they acknowledged it. So what does that say? You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean about WWE. What does that say? What does that say about, you know, their company? And does that make AEW look all the better because they did that, or is that just them poking at WWE?
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's funny to me. Because I'm pretty sure Vince found out at the same time, because they probably had something ready. I'm pretty sure, because I'm going to go watch this. Watch. I'm going to go watch this, and I'm going to bring this up next week. I'm going to watch who brought it up first, WWE or AEW. I'm going to see who brought it up, because I'm pretty sure that WWE had something ready, but they're like, let's see if AEW does something, or let's see what happens, or you know what I'm saying, something of that nature.
Right.
Because, you know, they did their generic. If you look at both of AEW's and WWE's picture that they did for him, the WWE used one of his generic pictures that you find off the internet that you could cut the background off of and, you know, slap it on their generic, in memory of so-and-so 19-something to 2000-something, you know what I mean? And AEW actually took one of his recent pictures of him being bald, you know what I'm saying? And they did one of his recent pictures.
So I believe,
like I said, WWE probably has something just thrown right there, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's see if they do it. If they do, we'll just slap it on there, you know what I'm saying, just to please the fans. And maybe that's what – maybe they got a lot more views, or maybe they won the ratings that week for doing that, because that's maybe why they kind of said they would put him in the Hall of Fame. Maybe they're going to try to get ratings that way also.
Yeah. That's definitely a PR move. Like, that's a political move right there.
You see what I mean?
Yep.
But Johnny Bravo guy, area code 646. If you want to get on the line with me before anything, area code 646-668-8672. Because Congo Kong, I guess, probably lost time frames, you know, because he comes from probably a different state and whatever, but that's okay. We'll reschedule. That's fine. But Johnny Bravo will be on, guys, pretty soon. He's a legend in the Michigan independent scene. Back in the day, he debuted in 1998. Man, this guy's – he was trained by Scott D'Amore and a lot more people, and, you know, he's an impact wrestling now. He was a referee, he's turned into, you know what I'm saying, a manager and everything, you know what I'm saying. We're going to poke at his brain. He said he's going to rough me up. I want to see him rough up a Texan, because, you know, we rough and tough from Texas, and I'm from Detroit myself, you know what I'm saying. So let's see what we can do with this, you know what I'm saying. Round one, let's go. So Johnny Bravo, you'll be on pretty soon. So Martez, if you want to stick around, you know what I'm saying, or if you have a question for Mr. Johnny Bravo, give it a shot, you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure Greg's going to be on here soon. You know, Greg's going to be on here, I'm pretty sure, soon.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, I'll be around, you know, interacting with the people on Facebook and Instagram, and yeah, if the opportunity presents it, you know, I'll definitely have a question ready. But you know, Southwest, it's all about you, man. I don't want to steal your thunder, brother.
man, we are eating every crap lightning over here at Open Talk Radio. You guys got to know that, man. That Martez is the man, the brains behind Open Talk Radio, behind all this. This thunder that we got over here, behind this thunder is always the muscle behind the hustle. So that's Martez.
I appreciate that, bro. Now we do have a caller mm-hmm. Jason, who was listening on Facebook. He's calling back, and whenever you want me to bring him on, I can bring him on.
Yeah, bring him on until Johnny or Congo comes on, or maybe we can get them both on if Congo ends up calling in. Whatever, go ahead and put him on.
All right, he's on.
What's going on, Jason? You're on with Southwest Texas on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to the show, man. What's going on?
Nothing much. I agree. Crime Time should be in the Hall of Fame, and not just for his death. Like, they did all kinds of other stuff. Like, sure, I was looking at their past accolades. Sure, they didn't win the WWE titles, but tag team titles, but they sure won all kinds of other tag team titles.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I wasn't sure about the WWE tag team titles, but I know for sure that they won a lot of tag team titles in the independents because I pay a lot of attention to the WWE, but, you know, Crime Time, like I said, was one of my good tag teams, wasn't my favorite. But in the independents, I do pay attention a lot also. But, yeah, man, Crime Time should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago. They've done a lot in this business, you know what I'm saying, in and out of the ring. And they're just great guys, you know what I'm saying? I want to try to get JTG on here probably one day, hopefully, you know what I'm saying? We'll talk about that. And but, yeah. So how's your day been going? What you got to talk about with the Southwest Texan besides that, man? You've been listening all day or the whole show or, you know?
I've been listening
you got
like the whole show.
Okay, so what else? You got anything else besides what I've been talking about on wrestling? Did you watch Monday Night Raw?
No, I did not. But I saw like the highlights.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't even do that, man. I've been having a busy, crazy week. But I heard it was like I said. I heard it was pretty good. But I heard that that stable broke up with Andrade and then.
Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy. But do you think that WWE is going to show some love to Shad Gaspar on SmackDown and Raw or just SmackDown?
I think probably just SmackDown. And I think it's just going to be the same, just the 10-bell salute like always, which I feel like they need to do something a lot better. They need to go big.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe that they should do, like, back in the day, like, show the video vignettes. I think that they should do, like, a fireworks to the stage.
Yeah.
And do the temple of the toe. But that's just my opinion because, you know, the wrestlers that do wrestle for WWE long-term or short-term, they give their all in the business, you know what I'm saying? Even though some of them don't win any titles, some of them may win the tag title, some of them may win Intercontinental Tag Team United States, whatever the case is. You know what I'm saying? They put their all in the ring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know a lot of independent wrestlers, and I'm starting to get to know a lot of these wrestlers that call in that I interview, you know, and that's something that they give their all to all these wrestlers for whatever type of reason that they go into the business. Man, this business is something that's very, very humble and very welcoming. You know what I'm saying? The wrestling community is very welcoming. You as a fan, I'm pretty sure you know the feeling, and you're the same way.
Oh yeah, I do.
Ooh, yeah, you gotta dig it.
The cream of the crop, on balance, off balance, there is no one better.
Remember the imitator.
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, man, like I said, it's just a crazy thing WWE got going on. But I'm pretty sure that my next guest, Johnny Bravo, is on the line because
we are scheduled at this time, and I know Johnny Bravo is going to call in, and I'm pretty sure he's on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason, if you don't mind, let me introduce my next guest. And if you want to stick around, you can, because me and Johnny Bravo got an interview and rounds to go because he said he's going to rough me up. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you John, capital E, dot Bravo. What's going on, Johnny Bravo? Are you on the line yet? Hello? No? Not yet? But, yeah, Jason, if you want to keep talking about wrestling until my guest gets on the line.
I'm going to check. We do have two callers on the line. I'm going to check to see if one of these are Johnny, okay?
Okay, not a problem. Yeah, guys, so like I said, Johnny Bravo is supposed to be on the line pretty soon. I don't know who the next caller is, but if whoever you are, you're welcome on the line with the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 to stop when it's texting, guys. But, yeah, man, I'm going to have a lot of questions to ask Johnny Bravo. Hopefully he's on
the
line, man. You guys. Oh,
he's here?
He's
on the line. Yep.
Hey, what's going on, Johnny? How's it going?
Good. Can you guys hear me finally?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you now. What's going on, brother?
All right. I can hear you guys perfectly fine. You couldn't hear me. I was just asking the gentleman before that put me on hold, who was doing that Macho Man impression that I just heard a few minutes ago?
Oh, that's the host yourself, the innovator, never the imitator.
Okay, that's terrible, so stop that right now. Nobody's listening to this podcast to hear you imitate the great Macho Man Randy Savage. So if you're trying to chase people away from this podcast, keep doing that. So that's a good idea if you're trying to lose viewers. If you're trying to gain viewers, first and foremost, you need to get my name correctly. See, this is why I didn't bother to learn your name. My name is John, capital letter E, period Bravo. Not John E dot Bravo like you just said.
Okay.
I heard.
I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm sorry, man.
As you should be sorry.
I'm sorry, my friend.
I know you were gonna interview me with a bunch of questions, right? Like you had a bunch of questions you want to ask me, correct?
Yeah, it's a bunch of fucking questions I want to ask you. Yes, sir, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay,
it
before we get to the questions, I'm gonna turn the tables a little bit. I'm gonna start interviewing you, because obviously people are tuning in to hear you interviewing me. How many people actually listen to this show? Do we know?
A lot of people do it on Instagram everywhere. Yeah. Yes, they
do. All your
do.
Friends and family listen, I hope?
Oh, more than my friends and family, I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
good.
A lot of people listen to the show.
This is going to be the best episode you ever did. Okay, question one, let's get to your name. You contacted me via Facebook, and I don't understand your name. Like, is it Dende, or like what is your name?
My name is D-Day Cruz.
Okay, so on Facebook, there's an SWTXN. What does that stand for?
That stands for the Southwest Texas, sir. Southwest Texas, Day-Day Cruz is my name.
Now I understand. I was like, who is this guy that I can't pronounce his name contacting me? And then I thought, have you ever watched Dragon Ball Z or no?
Yes, I have.
Okay, do you know who Dende is, the little green Namekian? I thought your name was pronounced Dende. I thought you were the little spiritual healer guy from Dragon Ball Z, Dende, but now I know it's Day Day.
That's funny. I actually do watch Dragon Ball Z, and that's actually funny. There's a couple of people when I was younger, they used to say the same thing. Yeah, that's funny. I know that.
Yeah, that is funny because I actually make the effort to learn your name. I ask you. You don't come on there and mispronounce your name. So now that I know your name's Day Day and not Dende, I won't call you Dende unless you want me to call you Dende from here on out. Do you mind if I call you Dende?
No, why not? You can call me Dende all you want. That's fine with me. That's funny to me.
You
you're the only one in
I'm gonna call you Piccolo instead.
Fine. Call me Piccolo.
Is that okay?
That's
Piccolo?
Fine.
All right.
Piccolo.
Piccolo.
That's fine.
Awesome.
That's fine.
All right. So how's your day been today, Piccolo?
Not too bad, Jeter. Not too bad. How's your day?
Good. How did your prior interviews before me go? Did they go okay?
Oh, they go great. They go great all the time. I had Bill Barron's on here. I had Ricky Morton on here. I had Hernandez on here. I had Rohit Raja. I'm sorry, I get that name wrong. Yeah, I had a lot of people on here. Yeah, the great people, great interviewees, the great interviews.
Good to hear. So, let's do this thing, man. Now that we got all the uncomfortable introductions out of the way, let's go for it.
Oh, yeah, not a problem, man. So, yeah, you're a legend here in Michigan, man. I already know that you're a legend here from you were starting in the beginning of 1998, actually in October, February of 1998, you started in the business of wrestling. So what actually got you into the business of wrestling? Who got you into the business, and what wrestler caught your eye to get into the business?
The things that caught my eye as a child were wrestlers like Kurt Hennig and Bret Hart, to be honest with you. Like you know, Hulk Hogan, as iconic as he was back in the day, wasn't relatable for people like me because, you know, he's 6 foot whatever, 300 pounds of muscle. But when you watch people like Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect at the time, as a little kid, you watch and go, wow, if they can do this, I can do this. And I'm not comparing myself to Kurt Hennig or Bret Hart. I'm just saying those were the first, like, gentlemen that I connected with. As a child,
right.
And then I wanted to find a wrestling school once I got out of high school, and I went to college for one semester. And college wasn't for me. I'm not telling your listeners out there not to go to college, but like for me personally, college was just a speed bump for me to find a wrestling school. And once I found the Can-Am Wrestling School in Windsor, Ontario, I made the commute in 1996, and I graduated. At 98. Not to get off track, but you said I'm a legend in Michigan, so I appreciate you saying that. Have you and I ever met in person or no?
Actually, no. I just follow you, and I've watched them. I've heard about you from a lot of my friends. They know you a lot of. One of them is Greg. What's his name? Greg Caton.
Oh, okay.
Greg Caton. He knows you. He's told me a lot about you. I follow you. I watch you on Impact. You're the longest reigning knockouts champion through Taya Valkyrie. You're the first, I'm pretty sure not the first, but as first as I know, referee turned into manager. Actually, wrestler turned into referee turned into manager. So, yeah, like I said, I follow you pretty much. You know what I'm saying? Even though, you know, you're a legend.
If you're ever at an indie show and I'm there, please come up and introduce yourself to me so we can finally meet in person. And you're absolutely right. I am the manager of champions. I manage the longest reigning knockout champion in Impact Wrestling history. Taya Valkyrie and I made history together with her long title reign. And that's a record that probably won't be beat for a very, very long time. And to your other point, I am wrestler turned referee turned manager. And I must say successfully because the transition from wrestling referee to manager usually doesn't last long, and I've already been managing champions on Impact Wrestling now for over a year. So there's I must be doing something right. So I appreciate the sentiment on your part.
Oh man, no, that's just facts, brother. I gotta say that, and I can't wait to meet you in person. And another thing is When we do meet, dinner's on me. Whatever you want, whatever you know what I'm saying. Whatever you're drinking, it's all on me.
Can we practice? Can we practice saying my name properly just so we're on the same page? Repeat after me.
Can you say it one more time so I can introduce it right?
Yes. Let's do it over again. Okay. Repeat after me. John.
John.
Capital letter E.
Capital letter E.
Period.
Period.
Bravo.
Bravo.
Now let that flow all off your tongue. John, capital letter E, period, Bravo. Say it.
John, capital E, period, Bravo.
Wrong. Good effort. Try again. You forgot to say the word letter. Like I understand it. It's obnoxious, but isn't that the point with wrestling? Like it's not John capital E. You have to say John capital letter E, period, Bravo. That's the whole thing, man. You're missing, if you leave out the word letter, L-E-T-T-E-R, it doesn't have the same ring to it. Try it again.
John, capital letter E, dot, Bravo.
There is no dot. Listen to you. Do you have a learning disability? What is going on? There's no dot. It's period. Get it right.
Period.
Do it again.
John, capital letter E, period, Bravo.
There we go. That's the proper introduction that a man of my caliber deserves. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Like I said, you were going to wrap it up. So, yeah, back to this. I know that Scott DeMore is actually one of your trainers, but you actually had two other trainers. And actually, what kind of influence did they have on you, or what kind of influence do they still have on you? Because you actually still work with Scott DeMore and Impact Wrestling at a different capacity in 2020. What's that like, actually working with Scott DeMore, that was actually one of your trainers at one point in your life, and working with him in Impact at a different capacity in 2020 versus then?
Scott is absolutely amazing. Everything I have in my career, I owe to Scott DeMore. There was a lot of people that helped me on the way, but Scott is the be-all, end-all. I would not have any level of notoriety. I would not have money in my pocket. Wrestling is my only job, okay? Like, I don't play wrestler. I used to work at Toys R Us for 20-some years before Impact Wrestling took off. Wrestling is my only income. I make my money. I pay my bills. I put food in my belly. I pay my car note. I pay my house rent. Everything's from professional wrestling, and I owe that to Scott DeMore. Some of my trainers back in the day was Irish Mickey Doyle, who is a legend. Look him up. If you people out there don't know who Irish Mickey Doyle is, he's done it all. He's seen it all. He's been there, done that. And literally, the man will give you the shirt off his back. I know that's a saying that people say. That guy's so nice, he'll give you the shirt off of his back. But he actually did that to me once in 96. We were training in the wrestling school. I was cold. I didn't bring a sweater. He had a sweater on. He asked me what was wrong. I said I was cold. Now, keep in mind, I barely know this guy. He just started training. He took the sweater off of his back and gave it to me to warm me up. So that gives me an idea of the character, the stand-up kind of guy that Irish Mickey Doyle is. And my other trainer, which I'm going to blow some of your listeners' minds here in a minute, is everybody knows the wrestling move called the Canadian Destroyer. Are you familiar with the move, the Canadian Destroyer?
I do. Petey Williams does that well. Yes, I am. Yeah.
Canadian Destroyer. Petey Williams has this flip pile driver that he named the Canadian Destroyer. My trainer is the same guy that trained Scott DeMore. His name was the Canadian Destroyer, Doug Chevalier. He was the original Canadian Destroyer before Petey Williams. He is basically the grandfather of all of us. He's the one that helped train me. He helped train Scott, some of the Border City wrestling guys. And when Doug unfortunately passed away in the year 2001, I want to say it was September 9th, because we did a show for him, and it was one of his first successful shows. He made profit. I believe he made $220-some profit. He went home and unfortunately passed away in his sleep due to a heart condition that he wasn't aware that he had. When Petey came to school and Petey got his notoriety and Petey came up with his arsenal and made it to Impact TNA at the time. As a tribute, he called the flip pile driver the Canadian Destroyer to name it after Doug Chevalier. And then people just started calling the Canadian Destroyer P.E. Williams. So, like, if you would have told Doug before he passed away that his wrestling gimmick name would have been connected to a move that's worldwide famously known. Everybody calls that move the Canadian Destroyer. It doesn't matter if you know where it comes from. It doesn't matter if it's done in Japan, Mexico. They all call it the Canadian Destroyer. And Doug's legacy will live on for the rest of time because Petey was nice enough to put that moniker to that move that he came up with, and the rest is history. So that's a little history about my trainers there for you, pal.
Nice, man. That's a lot of history that you slapped in my face, a lot of it, man. But yeah, Petey Williams is one of my favorite from Impact too. So that's crazy, and man, it's a lot of history. So a lot of history that you've been to Michigan. You only wrestled in Michigan once, I want to say, for PWAS. Do you think? What do you think about the Michigan independent scene right now? Have you heard of Horseland?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been to a horror slam show. I actually had to meet a guy up there. We had some business we had to take care of. I was picking up a championship belt from one of the guys that makes the horror slam belt. Their belt
yeah,
maker.
Steve.
Yeah, I think so.
Steve,
I'm not
yeah.
exactly. I don't remember his name, but the Michigan independent scene has been hot for years. You have tons of local organizations, some that are, you know, up north. Like I work for the Brooklyn Brawler for UCW Ultimate Championship Wrestling in Bay City, which is about 2 hours from Detroit. You obviously have XICW, which is Detroit famous. Everybody knows the history of XICW and DBA. Pro Wrestling All-Stars run by the great, you know, Anthony Rivera, who I've known for 20-some years. The list goes on and on. Like, I could name them all, but, like, we would be here literally for 20 minutes. Michigan has always been a hotbed for independent pro wrestling. And if you are an indie wrestling fan, you need to look up some of these things on the internet. UCW Ultimate Championship Wrestling, who I work for, they're actually on the Impact Plus app, the Impact channel that they have on Impact Plus. So if you subscribe to that app, you could actually see some of the old UCW library, so you don't have to, like, you know, scroll around on YouTube, because there's not much of it on YouTube. They put a lot of their – we partnered with Impact, so they put a lot of their library on the Impact Plus network over there at UCW.
Okay. Yeah, actually, Ridiculoso was actually their champion not too long ago. He just lost that championship, didn't he?
He had that title for over a year, man. He had it for over a year. I think it was the longest reigning UCW champion in their history. It was over a year.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I actually work with Horror Slam. I'm actually their podcaster guy, and I actually used to record for them. I used to record their matches on my YouTube channel, Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313 on YouTube, before they teamed up with Smart Mark. And when they teamed up with Smart Mark, that's when they stopped using me. But that, you know, I still do their podcasting when their Deathmatch Wrestling
and all. Have you been to every single one of their shows or no?
Excuse me?
Have you been to every single one of their shows or no?
I actually started December of 2018.
Okay, well, you know what? The day that I actually showed up to Horace to pick up the belt, you may have been there, so we may have crossed paths and not even been aware of it.
I'm pretty sure, you know, because when I go there, I'm actually everywhere. I bring my family over there, and my sister, I take my niece, and my sister's like, you always bring this, and you're never here. You're gone. I'm like, well, I got to handle business. I got to get interviews, and I got to talk to these wrestlers. I got to talk to Briar. I got to talk to Rachel. I got to talk to everybody. I'm like, I can't sit in one spot. I was like, I got to take care of business. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure we crossed paths, man. It would have been fun.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Excuse me?
I said, yeah, man, for sure.
Yeah, but like I said, I would love to meet you in person, no matter what. If you're a Michigander, ain't you?
Yes, sir. I've been born and raised in Romulus, Michigan, my whole life.
Oh, okay, yeah, definitely. Like I said, one day I gotta treat you to a dinner and maybe a beer, whatever you want, man. It's all on me. But what's up with Impact bringing back the team? Now we're gonna get into the Impact part. But what's up with Impact bringing back the whole TNA gimmick and self-proclaimed Moose being the TNA Heavyweight Champion?
That was a whole Moose thing. Like Moose is a genius at what he's doing right now. Like obviously we're in the middle of a horrible worldwide pandemic situation, and our current champion Tessa Blanchard is she's in Mexico right now. You know, they're telling us all to stay home. We're not allowed to travel, and she could not get to the last set. And like Moose, being the evil genius that he is, he went through in his mind. He went through the whole roster of the old TNA guys. He beat them all. He beat Chase Stevens. He beat Suicide. He all the old TNA guys that they brought in. He beat them all. So he somehow got his hands on the old TNA World Heavyweight Championship, and he proclaimed himself the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. And you know, for all those people out there, like, oh, it's not real. He didn't win it. Blah 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 blah. Look, man. The Million Dollar Man was the Million Dollar Champion for all those years, and that's a recognized title. Like, Million Dollar Man, one of the greatest, smartest heels in wrestling history, made himself a title and proclaimed himself the champion, and they put that title on the line. And when him and Virgil broke up, they fought for it, and I believe Virgil won the belt too. So who's to say that legitimate championship. To me, Moose is a genius, and if Moose ever needs a manager, he knows how to get a hold of me. I would gladly manage Moose in a heartbeat someday, because people don't give him a lot of credit, but he's a smart businessman, and it's got everybody talking that he pumped life into that dead brand, and now it's taking on another life of its own. So it props to Moose.
Right. Yeah. No. Definitely. I always I followed Moose too. I've seen him at PWAS also before I started this podcast. But Moose is he's a great wrestler from where he was in the NFL. You know, I even seen him play in the NFL before. Not too many times, but I've seen him before. But Moose is actually, you know, especially what he's doing right now. I like what he's doing, and I agree with you with people saying he's not champion or whatever so-called that he's calling himself self-proclaimed, but like Josh Matthews don't agree with it, but I agree 100% with Madison Rain with what she's saying, that Moose is, you know, he's defended the title and he's won the title, and I agree with what you're saying about the Million Dollar Man, but also, you know what I'm saying, there's I agree with it. TNA was dead and TNA became Impact, and, you know, Moose is reviving it, and I believe he could be the one to bring that title back and bring it to prestige.
He's reviving it with style too, man. He's doing a great job as TNA champion right now, in my opinion.
Most definitely. And another question I got, man. I know a lot of people, you know, wouldn't agree with me, but what's up with I know Tessa Blanchard is great talent. Tessa Blanchard's the heavyweight champion, but what's up with her winning the heavyweight championship? What's up with Impact Leonard winning the championship? I'm not like that. Like, I'm not against intergender matches or intergender tag team matches, but I mean,
see,
the heavyweight championship.
Here's the thing with your question, and I'm not going to try to change your mind, but this is the year 2020, and you can agree or you can disagree, but Tessa Blanchard is one of the best professional wrestlers in the world, like without a doubt. Like, her skill level, you know, if you want to talk sexes, her skill level, she's better than most of the guys out there in the independent wrestling scene and most guys out there in the world. She can hold her own. She can absolutely hold her own. She beat Sami Callihan at Hard to Kill. A lot of people weren't happy about it. A lot of people were happy about it. The fact of the matter is, each and every night, she performs day in and day out, and she busts her ass, and she gives the wrestling world some of the best matches out there. And she is a good professional wrestler. She's one of the best in the world. And by her winning the title, I think that proves it. If people don't like it, they don't have to watch, man. Like intergender wrestling used to happen all the time. There wasn't a show that you could not put on television that you didn't see intergender wrestling. All of a sudden now in the year 2020, people have a problem with it. If it doesn't make sense, okay, I absolutely agree. It doesn't make sense. If you put a woman out there that can't handle herself, of course it could be borderline abusive. But when she's beating up the dudes more than the dudes are beating up her, and she can take a hit, like, why not? Like, if you actually look more into my history, back in the Border City Wrestling days when I was coming up and I was clawing and scratching in the late 90s and early 2000s, I got booked against a wrestler named Jamie Deep. If you look her up, she was Serelda in TNA back in the day. She had a nice little run with AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. Serelda and I literally laid the template for intergender wrestling when it was illegal back in the day in Canada. It was one of these things where Jamie D back in the day was one hell of an athlete. She was bigger than most guys on the roster. She could take a hit. She could give a hit. And I probably wrestled her over 50 times. I never counted them all, but legitimately, I probably wrestled her over 50 times. And I remember there was like an athletic commission, like, oh, guys aren't supposed to wrestle girls. And then they watched Jamie D and I wrestle, and they watched how she held her own. The people can say, hey, man, like girls aren't allowed to play in the NBA. That's why they got the WNBA. But, you know, this is pro wrestling. Like, what are the rules of pro wrestling? The rules are limitless. Your imagination is your only limit in pro wrestling. There are a ton of things. Like Al Snow used to talk to a head for years, okay? Did the head ever talk back? You know how many people go, that head's not real? I carry a stuffed dog that I named after Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact, John Morrison to the ring, and I call him Mr. Bunda. To me and my character, that dog is 100% real. You know how many times I have little kids come up to me? And this is what's wrong with this country. I had a four-year-old little girl come up to me at one of the wrestling shows I was on and tell me that my dog is not real. And I'm like, you know what? First of all, you're 4 years old. Second of all, where's your imagination? You know what I said to the girl? I said, can you touch the dog? And she would touch it. And she said, yes. I said, can you see the dog? She said, yes. I said, can you feel the dog? She said, yes. I said, okay, so the dog is real. Mm-hmm. It may not be alive, but the dog is real. Because what is the the definition of real is something that exists. The dog exists, whether it's stuffed, whether it's alive or not. It may not be alive, but that dog is 100% real. And I could see this four-year-old little girl's mind blown, and then she could start using her imagination, and then all of a sudden she liked the dog. But, like, in what kind of world do we live in that a four-year-old little girl doesn't like a stuffed dog? Like people don't use their imagination anymore. So my point is, a woman can be world heavyweight champion. There's no reason why she can't. Like women were not allowed to vote back in the day. They weren't allowed to be doctors. They were only allowed to be nurses. So who's to say a woman can't be the heavyweight champion if she can't hold her own? And I believe Tessa Blanchard has held her own, in my opinion. You can agree with me or not. It doesn't really matter. That's my opinion, and that's where I stand on it.
No, I totally agree with you. I'm just asking the question, you know, because I remember, you know, like you said, intergender wrestling was – introduced a long time ago, you know what I'm saying? China went in the crown title.
It
she
was
went for
so
the world.
Hot in the 90s. It literally was one of the hottest things going in the 90s.
Even in ECW. ECW, when they were doing even hardcore wrestling, you know, putting women at the table. Even in the WWE.
And because a certain demographic finds it upsetting, we're supposed to act like it's not a thing anymore. Get out of here. Like, it is what it is. Don't if you don't like it, you don't have to support Tessa Blanchard. You can support Moose.
No, that's there you go. That's funny. That was funny. But yeah, man. No, I totally agree. She got the pedigree of her own. Yeah, and look at her. Who her father is. You know, her father's was 100%. Her father was a hundred. You know, her Tully Blanchard. You know what I'm saying? That's all you have to say. And then she beat Nick Gage. You know, she beat Nick Gage at a pay per view and on Fight TV. I remember watching that. She beat Nick Gage.
The woman is genetically gifted. Now, don't get me wrong. Taya Valkyrie's listening to this. Tessa Blanchard's no Taya Valkyrie. That's my queen. That should be your queen. That should be everybody's queen. Taya Valkyrie, to me, is the be-all, end-all in female pro wrestling right now. What she's done with her character and what she's done with her winning streak and her record-breaking, it's been an honor to attach my cart to Taya Valkyrie's career. She was already a good wrestler and a good entertainer and a good athlete before I started managing her. I always tell her in real life, I always tell her to her face, you're the French fry, I'm the ketchup. I just enhance what she does. Like, I take what she already does that's amazing, and I just make it 10 times better.
There you go. Yeah, no, most definitely. I watched Taya Valkyrie when she was even in Lucha Underground. She is a great wrestler. She's one of the best, and I'll tell you that much. She is huera loca, like she says.
Impact has the knockouts division, a lot of history there. With all the, you know, with Gail Kim and ODB and all the great knockouts fans, you know, love in the past. And now we have a stacked knockout division again, and it's just going to keep growing and getting bigger from here. It literally is one of the best things on television right now. Always has been, always will be, knockouts division.
No, that's definitely – I've been watching wrestling. I've been watching TNA since it's been out since 2002. Not really consistently, but on and off. But I've been watching it a lot more since 2017. No, 16, 17, like constantly every week. You know what I'm saying? And like it TNA and Impact. You guys bring something different than anybody else, and I like Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling is just great.
Yeah, man, I agree. That's why I worked there.
Definitely. So I'm gonna ask you another question. So are you gonna fall into Rosemary's trap?
I've been trapped, schmap. She don't trick me. Did you watch this past week's episode?
I didn't get to catch it this week. I'm going to watch it tonight, actually.
Watch this. I'm not scared of I'm not scared of Rosemary. She can lay whatever trap she wants. My heart, I'm a Taya Valkyrie man. My heart is with one woman. She can lay whatever succubus traps she wants to land. I ain't falling for it. No dice. I'm smarter than that. That's legit.
Ah, I believe you on that. I'll take you up on your word. You've been pretty solid right now, so I'm pretty sure you're going to stay with Valkyrie. So let me know another thing.
It is pretty funny the way Rosemary keeps stealing Mr. Mundo and dressing him up like a demon. I find that creative on her part, but she can't keep doing it every week. She did it 2 weeks in a row, Ty is out of town right now. I'll have to deal with this. If you watch Impact, I'll have to deal with this whole Rosemary situation probably this coming Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Access TV. I'll probably deal with her again.
I'll definitely be watching for sure, in my new office. I'm actually putting my new office together, so I'll be watching that in the office for sure this week coming up. So let me know another thing. Why are you one of the most loved and hated men in pro wrestling today?
Well, I'm one of the most loved men, like you said. I have what you would want to call a cult following in Michigan. I'm every man to the fans in Michigan. I'm not 6'5". I'm not 300 pounds. I'm not jacked. On paper, I should not be working for a national company having a primetime television spot doing my thing. So people see me, and I'm relatable, okay? And people see my character, how I fall for Johnny, how I fall for Taya, and people can relate to that. You know, we've all done stupid things for women we care about. We've all done it. We've all been there. So me jumping into the ocean for Taya Valkyrie is very relatable to every man. Me bending over backwards, you know, me dressing a certain way. We've all put clothes on for a girl that we thought we would impress, and then we look back and go, look how stupid I looked. I did this to impress her, and she didn't even care. Like, it's a basic human emotion that every human being experiences in their own way, and it's relatable. So people love me because they can relate to me. You know, I'm very, like, they're like, wow, like, if he can do it, like, I can do it. So it's not, like, I'm of the people. And with that comes a lot of hate. There's a lot of time when you get successful in the world of pro wrestling, people will tell you to your face, they're proud of you, you deserve it. And then as soon as you leave the room, it's like, he don't deserve it. Screw that guy. Blah, 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 blah. That's just life in general. That's whether you work at Toys R Us. That's whether it's the world of pro wrestling. A guy at Toys R Us will get a promotion. Everybody will tell him to his face, congrats, you deserve it. And then there's one guy that feels he doesn't deserve it. He should have got the promotion. He feels the same way. So that's the love-hate thing, you know. With success comes hate, and unfortunately, you got to take the bad with the good. And I'd rather take the bad with the good and actually accomplish something in my career than not accomplish anything of any significance. Because you got to understand, I started in 1996, and I didn't do anything on a national television level until 2017. So
right,
there's a lot of people up there that are like, oh man, I've been grinding for 10 years. Oh man, I've been grinding for 5 years. Like, it's cool, good for you. I'm glad you've been grinding for 10 years. But try to go 20 some plus years of grinding to try to accomplish your goals, accomplish your dreams, and then get back to me and see if your heart's still in it after 20 years.
Yeah, most definitely. That I can understand where you're coming from there, because knowing Briar Wellington, he's been 25 years in the game. Briar Wellington is one of the hardest working men I know in the wrestling game, even and more harder working than anybody in WWE today anyway, you know what I'm saying, or anywhere, you know what I'm saying. But I can understand where you're coming from on that, you know, and a lot, like I say to everybody, a lot of people don't give you guys a lot of respect, you know, they don't give you guys, you know, you as a referee, you know, you're a triple threat, so I give you three hats down, you know what I'm saying? I give my hat to you, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people don't give you guys a lot of credit for what you guys do in a lot of years that you guys given of your life to entertain, basically to entertain the people. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand that the hard work behind the scenes and behind what you guys do.
100% agree with that statement. Thank you. I appreciate the sentiment.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. That's no doubt. But besides Impact, because I know you guys are doing the Empty Arena wrestling. Do you watch like any other wrestling promotions that are doing that right now, like the WWE, NXT, or AEW?
See, here's the thing. I'm going to be completely honest with you. When you work for a company as great as Impact Wrestling, and I mean this wholeheartedly, I have a saying, because I get this question asking me a lot. I live in the Impact bubble, and what that means is, like, I help create TV. I sit down, you know, I do things backstage behind the scenes. So we put on a weekly product, and in order to stay fresh on your weekly product, you got to watch your weekly product. I honestly don't have time to watch any other organizations. I see what we're doing. I see what I'm doing. I focus on that, and I try to make it better. Some weeks I'll watch what I do on TV, and I'll go, you know what? I did that, but I could have did this a lot better. Or I see something that could be filmed a lot better. I was a producer on Gut Check. I helped produce Gut Check. We did 4 episodes of the Gut Check.
Yes,
over. So I helped produce that. Like there's so many things going on at Impact Wrestling, on screen, behind the scenes, that I don't have time. But like there's enough impact in my life to where I enjoy living in my impact bubble, and me being in that bubble to strive for greatness just helps the entertainment for you, the fans.
Most definitely. Like I said, yeah, that's definitely. I like Impact a lot more because I swear to God, I really don't watch WWE. I watch AEW sometimes, but I watch more Impact than I do WWE every week. I swear to you. I promise you that. I watch more.
Keep up the support, man. Like the product has been on fire as of late, the last few years, and it's just going to keep getting better from here on out. You have my word.
Okay. I'll be watching, and you guys need to be watching every week on Access TV on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, Impact Wrestling, because that's where it's at. It's a lot better than WWE. They give you a lot better feeling on the empty arena. You know, you guys ain't got the LED lights everywhere. You guys ain't got, you know what I'm saying? You guys got your stage, but you ain't got, you know, your wrestlers out on the sidelines like AEW, and you guys ain't got the LED everywhere like WWE. That's what I like about Impact. You guys give it like a more of a dark match. I like that.
Thanks, man. That's what we're striving for. We're our own thing, and that's okay. Like to each his own. But like what we're doing right now, I'm very proud of the product that we put out, and I'm glad that there are people out there that see the effort that we put into the product we put out.
Yeah, most definitely. That's definitely. Even though, like I said, you don't watch anything else, but I guess another thing I gotta ask you, man, is are we ever gonna see you back in Michigan? Like when all this is over, will we see you back in Michigan? Or you know, well, like in the indie Michigan scene, like independence?
Oh, absolutely, like 100%. Like I said, I work monthly for Ultimate Championship Wrestling in Bay City. Now, granted, it's 2 hours away from the Brooklyn Brawlers there. I help book the shows there. I'm one of the bookers. I'm one of the creative writers on the show. So I'm there. But if like somebody like Briar Wellington or Anthony Rivera, I used to do XICW shows all the time. If these guys want me back and I'm in town, and I'm not gone away for Impact. Absolutely, I love doing these Michigan shows. I love doing Ontario shows. I love doing any show that wants me on it. I appreciate any promoter that's willing to spend time and money to bring me in. And like I said earlier, Michigan independent wrestling is literally some of the best in the country. It's produced some of the best talent. And that's not me just saying that. You can look it up. You can see all the people who are from Michigan. You got your Rhinos, you got your Chris Sabins, you got Alex Shelley. There's a laundry list of people from Michigan that made it in pro wrestling is longer than my arm. So do your research, see who's come out of Michigan, support these indie shows. And who knows, maybe you'll see me at one of them coming up soon once this whole worldwide pandemic is over.
Yeah, most definitely. I'll be watching out for that. And like I said, I would like to meet you in person. But what about the Brooklyn Brawler? He was challenged at your show.
Oh, yeah, the Brooklyn Brawler. He was doing his thing with WWE for 30-plus years. He stepped down, and he joined forces with a guy named Brian Mayday in UCW. And they opened up their school called the Hall of Brawl, which I've guest trained at. You know, my primarily school that I train in is Windsor, Ontario, even though I'm from Detroit at the Can-Am Wrestling School. But the Brawler has his own school going. He's doing his own thing. I love working with him. He's a trip. We challenge each other. Like that, you know, he pays me to challenge him, and he challenges me right back. He keeps me on my toes, and he's fun to work with. You know, you see this guy for 30 years on television, you never think you'd get the opportunity to work with him. And now I'm working shoulder and shoulder with the guy. And it's actually quite fun.
That's great. Like I used to, as a kid, I used to watch Brooklyn Brawler when he used to come to Detroit at the Joe Louis Arena back in the 90s.
I used to house shows and even the dark matches. I used to love the Brooklyn Brawler, even though some people said he's a jobber, but they don't know what he's done for the business and for over 30 years.
He made a 30-plus year career out of being a quote-unquote jobber. He was The Rock's first match on television. Like
mm-hmm.
people that call him that would die to trade places with him. Like, oh, he's a jobber.
Definitely.
Well, what do you do for a living? You work at a factory? Okay, cool. Nobody puts down your factory job, so why are you putting him down? He carved out a niche for himself. He made good
exactly.
money for himself, you know, for over 30 years, and he still continues to make good money. So call him a jobber all you want, you know what I mean? That's the same people that call him a jobber that are call me a jobber. Well, you know what? My bills are paid with pro wrestling, so call me a jobber all you want. It doesn't bother me.
Definitely, most definitely. That's the truth. You know, a lot of people would trade places with him any time of the day because I never called him a jobber. Like I said, I loved the Brooklyn Brawler. Like you said, The Rock was his first match, he was The Rock's first match, and I've seen a lot of his matches. I remember one time he wrestled, I want to say it was Hardcore Holly in a dark match before in a house show. It was in a house show.
Yeah, it's true. When you're a little kid, man. When you're a little kid, they tell you in school you can grow up and be whatever you want. You know, you can be anything you want. You want to be a fireman? Cool. You want to be an astronaut? Cool. You know, I said I want to be a pro wrestler. Something happens when you become an adult. You graduate high school and you say, hey, I want to do these things. You know, I want to be a pro wrestler. And people look at you and go, you can't do that. Like, why would you want to do that? So something happens in life where we lie to our kids and say you can be whatever you want. And then as soon as they become of age, you try to strip them of their dreams. Tell them to be an IT guy on the phone. Tell them to work at computers. Tell them to work in a factory. Not that there's anything wrong with these things, but does anybody ever grow up and go, hey, man, I want to be a factory worker? Or, hey, man, I want to work behind a computer, behind a desk my whole life? Nobody says that as a kid. So for anybody, follow their heart and follow their dreams, whether they're the world heavyweight champion or a jobber. Like if you're a pro wrestler and people call you a jobber and they've done absolutely nothing with their life, like to me that says consider the source.
Yeah, most definitely. Like I would like, you know, like I would love to be a man. I would love to be anything in the pro wrestling business. I've been watching wrestling since I was about 11 years old, probably even earlier than that, but I would love to be anything in the wrestling business. Like I said, I've recorded for Horror Slam. I've met a lot of the guys in the back. You know,
podcasting is one of your passions. Podcasting and in interviewing pro wrestlers and pro wrestling personalities. So congrats to you for having a passion in life that's not dictated to you by the system, and hopefully you're enjoying yourself.
Oh, yeah, I definitely am, and I appreciate your time and everything, man, for you actually giving me that compliment. That means a lot to me. That actually does mean a lot to me because I do love pro wrestling, and I do love doing this podcast and interviewing guys like you and legends like you. You know what I'm saying? You're actually, like I said, you're a legend in this business.
Well, thank you, and keep up the work, man.
I appreciate it, but one more thing is you're on social media. Would you like to let the listeners know where they can find you at on Promote Impact Wrestling one more time on Access TV at 8 o'clock?
Yeah, Impact Wrestling, you know, Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. You can find me on social media. John, like Twitter, it's Johnny Bravo First with the capital letter E. I'm not going to go too much into it. This is the year 2020. You know, Google my name, John, capital letter E, period, Bravo. See what comes up. You'll find my social media through that. I'm easy to find. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I don't need a bunch of followers to feel successful. You know what I mean? As long as I got a few that appreciate what I do, that's cool, man. Like, that's all I need in life.
All right. Like I said, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, again, that's John, capital letter E, period, Bravo. And I appreciate your time. Like I said,
I appreciate you, man.
I knew how to say it the whole time. I knew how to say it the whole time. It was just, you know, I was following your game.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you for the interview. Everyone, continue to support Dende here. He has a good show. Good work today. And I look forward to hearing future works from you in the future.
Oh, thank you, man. And like I said, one day I hope to meet you one day in person. And like I said, dinner and anything's on me.
Absolutely, man. Have a good night. Thanks for having me.
You too. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was John, capital letter E, period, Bravo. What did you guys think about that interview? You know what I'm saying? Guys, we got a couple minutes left. Give me a call, area code 646-668-8672. Martez, what did you think about it?
I absolutely loved it, man. I know I always say that on every show. This was, I think this is the best show. You always do great shows, but this was the best show ever, man. Honestly, man. And that was an excellent guest you just had on. I got nothing but love and props to give to you and Johnny about that interview. So, yeah, man, it was a heck of a show, bro.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. I appreciate it. I thought that this was the best show I had, too. No disrespect to anybody else I had on here, but this was a crazy show. I didn't even think it was going to go this long or he was going to give me that much time or anything. But one thing I got to say for you guys is Congo Kong did breach me, and he because I actually had 7 p.m. on the poster. He was training with one of his people, but he will be on soon, I hope. But he said he will reschedule with me, and I thank Congo Kong for actually reaching out back to me and coming. He's going to be on the show soon, guys. And you said what?
He's actually on. He just called in. He wanted to come in and say a few words, but it's up to you. I'm going to follow your lead on this.
Yeah,
if you want me to bring him on.
That's fine. Bring him on. That's fine with me.
Okay. He's going now.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's going on, Steve? Or should
not
I count,
too much,
call
man. You can call me Steve. I'm sorry. I apologize. It completely slipped my mind. I've been training people since 3 o'clock this afternoon. And, like, I legit looked up, and it was 7:30, and I was like, oh, crap, I'm supposed to be doing a podcast right now. And then I got your message, and so I figured I'd, you know, at least call in and see, you know, if you were still on. I realized you're not going to be on much longer, and that's fine, but I just wanted to let you know that I apologize sincerely. That's not what I do. I am more professional than that, and I would love to reschedule with you sometime.
Yeah, actually, we can reschedule. We'll talk about that on Facebook. I'll look on the calendar and see what I got because I know next week I do got booked, but maybe the week after that, that would be fine.
Yeah,
with
man,
me.
Just let me know. Let me know. And maybe since this is not the greatest time and I'm usually training guys, maybe we can do the pre-recorded thing.
Yeah, that'll be fine. That's fine with me.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll give you as much time as you want.
Okay. That's great, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you calling in. And I know you're professional, and I know you're a great guy. I've actually met you a few times in the indie scene. I met you at XI Horse Slam. I actually had you I recorded your match versus King Logan and the tag team match that you had with Heidi Katrina versus Pando and his girlfriend.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about your career, and we'll talk about other things, man. And like I said, I appreciate you calling in and giving the words, and I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. I apologize, and I appreciate you being cool about it.
Oh, no problem, man. And we appreciate you taking the invitation. And again, I thank you.
All right, man. I'll holler at you soon.
All right, talk to you later. Have a good night.
All right, everybody be blessed and keep listening to this, man. He's got something good going. Talk to you later.
I appreciate that. I really do. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Steve. So, yeah, guys, that was Steve, the man behind Congo Kong. You heard it from him that he's going to reschedule with me, and we're going to have him probably the week after next, and that'll be a great show, and we're going to do the pre-recorded thing, and that's going to be something new to me also. So that's going to be great. So let me promote next week's show, because next week is going to be a great show. Also, next week I have independent wrestler Adam. I'm hoping to say his last name right. Adam Filigeri. He's a great independent wrestler. And I have the returning, and he rescheduled, Lance and Hawaii. Next week we'll have Lance and Hawaii and Adam Filigeri. I'm sorry if I say wrong. Next week, you can correct me, whatever. But, next week is going to be a great show. Don't forget, 6:30 p.m., the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. And up next at 8 o'clock, we have the Gorilla Position with Steve Aarons and the Macho Ghost. That's also going to be a great show. And Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez this Sunday, I want to say, is going to have a great guest in Camille from the NWA. We're going to see what she could get into
at Wrestle Talk, and I know Martez is a little excited about that one because that's one of his favorites. So, yeah, what do you think about Congo Congress scheduling on that too?
Man, brother, what I think about that is you got a good reputation out here, man. People are showing you mad love, you know. For that guy to call in just to apologize to you, man, that was huge, man. And I know I'm always giving out compliments, you know. We rarely disagree, but I'm just keeping it real, man. People obviously got love for you, and I thought he was more than gracious, and he seemed like a down to earth guy when he just called in. So I can't wait for the next time you get a chance to interview him.
Yeah, and that's going to be a great time because, like I told John, capital letter E, period, bravo, I heard it, and you heard it the right way. I told him that my studio is going to be under construction, and by then, Congo will be the first one to be on the camera in my new studio. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, man.
I can't wait to have him on it too, man. It's going to be great, and hopefully one day soon you'll be over here too at my new studio.
Oh, for sure, man. I can't wait, man. You know, whenever you hit me up, let me know, man. And I'll be there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's under construction right now. I just found a location. But, yeah, man, I can't wait to have everybody inside my new studio when it's done under construction. But next week, like I said, guys, Vance in Hawaii and Adam Filangieri will be on next week, and next up is the Macho Ghost and Steve Aarons on the Gorilla Position podcast. And this Sunday, Wrestle Talking to D. This is all brought to you by Wrestle Talking to D. I thank John, capital letter E, period, bravo, and Congo Kong. Thanks for calling in and rescheduling with me next week, guys. It's another great show. So keep on tuning into the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. And I thank you guys. I love you guys, and I'll see you guys next week.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.